Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I think I'll start out the show talking a little bit about the New World Order, and then we'll get on to some interesting passages in the Meyer material. I've been very interested in listening to Dr. Rashid Buttar lately. He is, to me, the person that's really describing what is going on with this coronavirus and what the global elite has planned for the future if we allow them to take us there. Dr. Buttar says that there is about $3.7 million from the National Institute of Health that was transferred to China. And this was transferred, I think, around 2014. And we were actually doing research on the coronavirus here in the United States. And I think it might have been being done at somehow Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is involved. I'm not sure if that was actually the lab where the research was being done, but it was outsourced to China, this research, by Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the fellow that always appears with Trump when they talk about the coronavirus. And Fauci took taxpayers' money and continued this research into the coronavirus, so that was moved to Wuhan, China, evidently. See, there was a moratorium on this kind of research that took place in 2014, so it became illegal in the United States to do this kind of research. It's so dangerous. The world shutdown was created, in a sense, by Dr. Anthony Fauci. And he stated in 2017 that there would be a worldwide pandemic that Trump would have to face. So how did Dr. Anthony Fauci know this back in 2017? Well, I think we know. Let's listen to a little bit of Dr. Rashid Buttar.
The moratorium that was placed, and then $3.7 million from the National Institute of Health was transferred to China so they could continue this research, even though the moratorium, so they basically outsourced this research to China. Is this the same topic we're talking about here, this news is just breaking?
Yes, this is exactly right. So it goes back to 2014. The U.S. government decided, based upon certain virologists at that time, saying that, look, there's no justification for this kind of research. There's a potential for it to cause harm, cause a pandemic, so there's no justification for us to do this type of research. So the government passed a moratorium in 2014. Fauci approved budgets to be sectioned for this type of research. So basically, and I'm getting really, every time I think about this, it gets me really flustered because I'm so angry that he basically broke the law. He more than broke the law. He created this entire cascade that we're seeing with the world shutdown was created by this initial aspect back in 2015. He broke the law. He went against government moratoriums. He took taxpayer money and he funded research that has now led to the COVID-19. In 2017, he was documented at Georgetown University saying that there will be a pandemic that this presidency will face, that this term will face. How did he know that in 2017 that something was going to happen in 2018, 19, or 2017?
Let's put that on hold just for a minute. I want to pick back up with my train of thought about this. And this deals with vaccines. The vaccines is where they ultimately come into play here, because they want to sell these vaccines to people, which are actually, I think, going to lead to a lot of deaths. I think the vaccine is being used to help depopulate the world. As you know, as I've talked about before, there's 8 billion people on the earth, and the population of the earth is growing at 1% per per year, and that doesn't sound like much, except that that means that our whole population doubles every 70 years. It's called doubling time, and people that study populations talk about doubling time. So if you, and the formula for it is pretty straightforward, 70 divided by the percentage growth rate. So if the percentage growth rate was 2%, then our doubling time would be 35 years. But it's 1%, so the doubling time is 70 years. That means in 2090, we'll have 16 billion people. And in 2160, we'll have 32 billion people. So you can see the kind of dilemma we're in if the population continues to grow at this current rate. Now, let me pick back up with Dr. Fauci, and then I'll get off on this in another way here.
Tens of thousands of doctors and scientists out there that know that this is a fraud, and they're not saying anything. Either one, they're scared of social ostracization because they're going to be called out, or social shaming, or they're afraid of that they're going to lose their license. For God's sake, this is changing the planet, and every scientist and every doctor that knows this to be a facade needs to open their mouth and speak. There is every aspect of science has just been literally picked up, thrown in the toilet, and flushed down. It's like everybody's ignoring it. The fundamental aspects of how the human system works is being ignored. Physiology is being just put in the garbage bin. Every aspect of virology and infectious disease is being ignored. Koch's postulate has been ignored. Every aspect. Then you've got false positives coming from testing that we know is not adequate. And then the testing that they are doing, like the RT-PCR, the real-time polymerase chain reaction testing, that's already been shown. It was actually the guy who developed it in the 1980s, Mullis, said that you cannot use this testing for diagnostic purposes. You have to use it only for the where something has a genomic sequence that's already been identified. You can't use it for diagnosis, yet they're using it for diagnosis.
So since the population of the world is doubling every 70 years, it will go from 80 billion to 16 billion to 32 billion, completely out of control. Now, from my perspective, I believe that people like Bill Gates and people in the Council for Foreign Relations, people in the Committee of the 300, the people in the Bilderberger Group and the Illuminati and such have known since about 1930 that our world population was growing exponentially. And there had to be something done to stop this growth. It's just over the top. So I think they've chosen pandemic to control the world population. Vaccines is part of that. And the vaccines are extremely unhealthy. And I'll go into that in a little bit. As and war. I think these three things are what you're going to see. They want to bring in their one world government. They want to reduce the population to a reasonable and intelligent level, which is about 500 million, I believe, or a billion, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that's about right, actually. The problem is they've decided to murder people. They've decided to kill people to do that. Just to give you a little bit more about these vaccines, and I do this for myself, too, because I need to study this information because it's so prevalent. There's something called MRC5, which are aborted fetal cells and other DNA. And MRC is the Medical Research Council that in the 1966 or so, they started to develop these vaccines. And they used a 16-week-old aborted Caucasian male fetus, and they used the cells from the lungs of this human fetus. And they eventually have infected it with a virus. And they take those cells, those lung cells, those infected lung cells, and they put them in the serum of the vaccine, and then they inject you with it. And that way you'll get an immune response as your body detects the virus. But a lot of other things happen which are called iatrogenic reactions. And this is the multiple compounds or drugs or things that are in these vaccines. Now, you've heard of mercury in vaccines. Well, they took the mercury out and they put in thimerosal, is one of my understandings. And that is a kind of mercury. It's very, very dangerous. And human fetal cells don't belong injected into your bloodstream either. Just in case you wondered, that's also very unhealthy. They also put formaldehyde in these vaccines, which is actually immunosuppressive. So they have a lot of weird stuff going on the one hand. They try to get your body so it will develop an immunity to this one strain of the virus. However, many of these viruses mutate all the time. That's why we can't have a vaccine for the common cold, because there's millions of mutations of it. So you couldn't develop a vaccine. It's the same way with the coronavirus. They're only going to develop a vaccine for one strain of it. And you get that and you get it injected, and you'll develop immunity for that one strain, but not the other strains. The other problem is it really stresses your immune system to do this. What we should be doing is building up our immune systems through using D3 and vitamin C and colloidal silver and zinc and things like that. So anyway, it's a very dark topic, and unfortunately we have to spend time on it because there are people that are doing horrible things. I understand why they're doing it, because the population is really a huge, huge problem. And I know people say you could fit all the people in the world into Texas, but as I have said, if you do a little math and you try to feed those 8 billion people, let's say 7 billion, however you want to look at it, and if you give 7 billion people beef to eat, you make the world meat eaters. Let me show you what happens here. It's very interesting, because a 1,200 pound steer produces about 500 pounds of meat. And you would say to yourself, well, that's a lot of meat. Well, not really, because if you live 100 years, that's only 5 pounds of meat per year. 5 times 100 is 500, right? So in a whole year, you'd only eat 5 pounds of meat. Now, if you are 50, if you only live to be 50, then you could get 10 pounds of meat per year. And what I'm saying is, if we gave that 500 pounds of beef, it would be the world allotment. So each person would get the 500 pounds of beef. And that's one cow. And you say, well, I kind of get what you're saying. Well, look at it this way. One cow really needs 2 acres of land to really graze properly. So if you take 7 billion cows times 2 acres of land, that's 14 billion acres. And if you convert that to square miles, that would be all the space in South America, Mexico, the United States, Alaska, Canada, and Russia, just to support the beef for those 7 billion people you get crammed in Texas. So when you start to do the calculations of what it takes to support a population of 7 billion, then it's astounding how much space it takes, how much resources. We haven't talked about any other kinds of food but beef. And just think about that again. 500 pounds of beef sounds like a lot of beef. But if you live 100 years, that would only be 5 pounds of beef per year. If you live 50 years, that's only 10 pounds of beef per year. I'll bet a normal American male eats 10 pounds of beef per year easy. Some of us probably eat 10 pounds of beef a month. Now think about all that meat. And what it takes, well, you can cram the cows into these little storage facilities, and that's how they get the they defecate in there, and then they urinate in there, and it's a very unhealthy environment. That's where you get a lot of the diseases that cows are getting. So anyway, I got off on a little bit of a tangent there of overpopulation. Anyway, the use of fetal tissue in vaccine development is the practice of developing and producing and researching vaccines through the cultured, laboratory-grown human fetal cells. So the original cells that were gotten out of that fetus I was talking about, now they're reproduced through what are called cell factories. So anyway, most vaccines currently available were developed using cell strains cultured from two fetuses aborted for other purposes in the 1960s. Now, the 60s, this is dark stuff. I mean, this is really horrific things when you think about doing that. Anyway, I won't talk about that anymore. I think that's about all that you should be able to handle. But this is the world that we have, we're dealing with. And the New World Order wants to create a one world government. They want to destroy national identity, destroy the middle class. They want to destroy the family. They want to make humanity genderless, end natural sex, merge you with machines, so you become what's called the transhumanist. Eventually, they will want to implant data chips in everybody. They want, of course, this group wants to gain all the wealth and power. They want to mind control the masses, destroy religion, remove all rights and freedoms, dumb down the public, move people into megacities. By the way, 5G will be the straw that broke the camel's back. 5G will destroy people's immune systems, especially when they've been weakened by the vaccines. So do not take the vaccines and try to get away from the 5G as much as possible. Move people into megacities, what they want to do, dumb down the public, restrict travel. They've certainly done that. At one point during all of this, 40 million people were locked down in China. They want to remove all privacy, eliminate national borders, end all industrialization, reduce the world's population. The one thing I agree with them on, of course, I don't agree with murdering these people, though. Create a cashless society. Notice how they're saying that cash spreads the coronavirus. This is really designed to bring in the cashless society. And the sheltering in place is really designed to create an economic reset. That's all the bad news we're going to talk about today. I want to talk a little bit, believe it or not, about the creation of natural laws and then hope. Billy Meyer is a 70-year-old man. He's in his 80s now. He's like 83 or 84. He lives in a place called Schmidruti in Switzerland, which is like 35 minutes east of Zurich. He has been writing books. I don't know exactly when he started writing. I assume it was in his 30s. Well, he wrote some things when he was very young, but I think the majority of his writing probably began in his 30s and 40s. I've heard he's written over 60 books. The books that I have include The Psyche, The Talmud of Emmanuel, The Might of the Thoughts, The Way to Live, and Kelch der Wahrheit, or The Goblet of the Truth. The books are written in German, and they have what's called an evolutive code. So if you can read part of it, or all of it, if you're good at German, in German, it will help your subconscious. There's a code built in to this information. And the German language is very similar in some respects to the language of the people that came here from Lyra Vega about 289,000 years ago. The Lyrians were very advanced, and they had very advanced weapons, and they went around the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and they conquered planets and they conquered civilizations. And now, our universe is called the Dern universe. It's right now 46 trillion years old, much older than our scientists think. It has seven counter-rotating rings, which rotate in opposite directions. And the fourth ring, or belt, is called the material belt. That's where the stars and the galaxies and the suns are. And there are seven different space-time configurations in this material belt of our creation, which is also called the universal consciousness. These different space-time configurations are inhabited. And the space-time configuration that the Lyrians and the Pleiaren came from have a lot more planets closer together, and civilizations are very highly evolved, and they move from star system to star system, but they also come to our space-time configuration, and they did that about 289,000 years ago. Some of them committed crimes, were basically banished to the Earth, which is not such a bad thing, except for you've got to then eventually die, and then you enter into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. And reincarnation is one of the creational natural laws. Now, that could be a punishment if you were a very evolved being in some respects and were thrown back into a very beginning society. Everything in our whole universe is the manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of the mighty universal consciousness. And love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. I call that creational natural law number one. Again, no particular order. Then the law of striving. Striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving gives you your sense of life. Striving is work in all its variations, whether you're cleaning your garage or a brain surgeon doing brain surgery, or whether you're working out, or whether you're washing the dishes. It's all striving, and you should be dedicated to the striving. The universe is, the universal consciousness is dedicated to striving, down to the atomic building block. Are dedicated to the striving. Striving produces happiness and fulfillment in your life. It causes what's called delectation, a sense of life. And if you don't have striving in some way, like if you're locked down and you've lost your job, and focus yourself on the striving, that will help you maintain your sanity through all this difficulty. That's the law of striving. The other thing that you want to do is practice the law of harmony, which means you're not having these rotating negative thoughts. You have a neutral, positive thought process in your mind. In other words, tell yourself, if you want to recover from your negative thoughts, say, I am confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. This is the law of harmony. It determines that thoughts must be progressive and neutral, positive, equalized. So you're not, you're, if you could take the positive and the negative and put it in a gauge, and right in the middle, you'd be just a little to the positive. If you've got suffering in your life, it's as a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. Even if you're going through very difficult times, the real challenge is to keep that neutral, positive thinking, to stay striving, and to think of love, the creation's love, and your love for others. And Incidents of suffering are indicators that the law of harmony has been disregarded and broken. Usually, there's a negative and positive in everything, and we shouldn't try to pull those two apart. The other important Christian or natural law for your life is the law of system and order, and that means that you try to have a structure to your life where you do things at specific and certain times, and this will help you with your striving. It will help you with your outlook in life. It will keep you within the law of harmony. And if you want to be successful in material life, you have to have a structure and that you adhere to. And the more exact, the better. If you feel aimlessness or purposelessness, that can be because the law of system and order. You have a need to focus on that. If you feel disorder, aimlessness, then focus on striving. That will help a bunch too. If you're doing the law of system and order and the law of harmony and the law of striving, the law of love, good, then you're in much better condition to get prosperity and abundance. So these are the laws of the universe. I repeat these a lot because they're real important, because I need to think about them a lot, and it's healthy for you to think about them. So replay this particular episode and think about these things. Get the book, The Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. It's one of his very, very best books. I recommend it, and I'm going to read a quick section. Hope is a form of expectation which is directed at something quite definite, and we need hope right now. Therefore, at a set zeal which was worked out from an idea or an ideal or an imagination and so forth. An evolutive hope which is constructed in this way therefore represents an attitude of expectation. I sometimes say enthusiasm. Comes from expecting success. And you can create a mental image is so important when you visualize. Visualize some mental image associated with your success. So this is very important, which is brought to fruition through the mind of the thoughts. When a zeal, you can think of a target, a life determination, is striven for, which has assumed an imaginary form based on ideals. An ideal is a thought that's been completely thought through, completely worked out. An IDEA is not completely developed and not completely thought through. So, to take your ideas and develop them into ideals. Therefore, hope, that is to say, expectation in this form, is a necessity which is always characteristic of the positive thinker and the optimist, in which is directed such that the striving towards the zeal and for that which is higher continues to be driven onward. So this is a quick thought about hope. Hold on to your hope. Practice the law of love, the law of striving, the law of harmony, the law of system and order, and that'll help keep your life organized during this particularly trying time, and know what's going on. They're trying to bring in this new world order, and the current virus is really about creating fear and doubt in you. Have a great day. Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.